On this Sunday night, going on offense, the Clinton campaign pushes back hard against the FBI over their new review of Clinton-related emails as the Senate Democratic leader accuses the FBI director of possibly breaking the law. Humanitarian crisis as the battle for Mosul rages on. A first-hand look inside a crowded camp where more desperate Iraqi civilians are arriving every day. Edible danger. Five states set to vote on marijuana legalization this November amid growing concerns about children and edible pot that looks like candy. And royal murder mystery. How modern DNA testing could solve a 300-year-old case and implicate a king. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. It's been a weekend filled with news that no one on either side of this election could have anticipated, and it has Democrats scrambling. On Friday, we learned of the letter from FBI Director Jim Comey to members of Congress announcing the FBI is reviewing a new batch of emails related to Hillary Clinton's use of a private server. Donald Trump has mentioned the news at every stop since, calling it the biggest political scandal since Watergate. But there are still many unanswered questions, like how exactly were the emails discovered? What do they contain? And are they duplicates of emails already known to the FBI? With few details made public, top Democrats are accusing the FBI director of playing politics. We have all the angles covered tonight. We begin with Casey Hunt in Florida. Casey?
Kate, good evening. Democrats tonight upping the ante on the FBI, the top Democrat in the Senate, Harry Reid of Nevada, sending a letter accusing James Comey, the FBI director, of violating the Hatch Act, which prohibits government employees from influencing an election with their authority. Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail in Florida, meanwhile, didn't mention the FBI issues at all.
Hillary Clinton today trying to stay the course in the face of the FBI's bombshell announcement. Powering ahead like nothing's wrong, working to get out the early vote in Florida. At brunch.
We need you to get out
and vote.
And church on Sunday.
So no matter what is thrown at us, we need to stay focused on our goal.
First female president of the United States, Hillary Clinton!
On Saturday, partying with J-Lo. And going on offense against FBI Director James Comey, demanding he tell the public more about possible new evidence related to the investigation of Clinton's private email server.
It's not just strange, it's unprecedented, and it is deeply troubling because voters deserve to get full and complete facts.
Sources tell NBC News the newly discovered emails were found in the course of the underage sexting investigation involving Anthony Weiner, the estranged husband of Clinton aide Huma Abedin. Usually close by Clinton's side, she's off the trail this weekend. Across the country and the airwaves, Democrats defended Clinton.
And we're not going to be distracted by this. We're going to power forward to make our case about why Hillary's going to be the next president.
The question now is, will it change the race? New NBC News Wall Street Journal Marist polls taken before the news show Clinton ahead by 6 points in North Carolina, but in a dead heat with Donald Trump in Florida.
Do you believe this could cost you the election?
I don't think so.
With just 9 days to go, millions of Americans have already voted, over 3 million in Florida alone, helping to give the Clinton campaign confidence they're still on track to win.
More on that late-breaking news tonight. Reid's letter suggests that the FBI has explosive information about close coordination between the Russian government and the Trump campaign. That's a charge that both the Trump campaign and the Russians deny. Reid is also accusing Comey of having a double standard and putting his finger on the scale in favor of a partisan candidate. Kate?
Casey Hunt with starting us off there. Casey, thanks. Let's get to the latest now on the new FBI review of Hillary Clinton-related emails. Pete Williams has been reporting on this extensively. Pete, we know the FBI obtained a laptop owned by Anthony Weiner. What are the next steps?
Well, the first one is to get a new search warrant, and tonight the FBI has it. That gives agents the authority to go through the thousands of recently discovered emails. They had a warrant to search Anthony Weiner's laptop, but only for evidence of illicit communication. So it needed another one to look at the separate emails on the laptop from Huma Abedin. And now that they have access, agents will hope to move very quickly. They'll use an automated search technique to see how many are duplicates of the emails that they've already seen in investigating the Clinton email server. Those that are not copies will be checked for classified information. And officials say if this all goes quickly and nothing potentially classified is found, it is possible that the FBI could come out and say so within the next few days. It all depends on how many of these emails haven't been seen before, Kate.
And Pete, you have new information tonight about how long FBI agents have known about this new cluster of emails?
Well, the FBI went to court and asked to seize Weiner's laptop in late September. Once they got approval, they got custody of it 27 days ago in early October. But they didn't tell FBI Director Comey about the Abedin emails until last Thursday. Officials say the full extent of the Abedin emails was not appreciated until after the agents structured a program to search the laptop. And it was only recently, they say, that they understood their potential significance, Kate.
Pete Williams in Washington for us. Pete, thank you. Donald Trump is out west today, where he repeatedly attacked Hillary Clinton over this new FBI review. Katie Turr has the latest from Greeley, Colorado.
The Trump campaign couldn't have imagined a more ideal October surprise. The unexpected FBI announcement of newly discovered emails, reviving its investigation of Hillary Clinton just days before the election, underlining one of their rivals' biggest vulnerabilities.
We never thought we were going to say thank you to Anthony Weiner.
In seven rallies across six states this weekend, Trump repeatedly told his voters justice would finally be served against Clinton.
This is the biggest political scandal since Watergate. We must not let her take her criminal scheme into the Oval Office. Hillary has nobody but herself to blame.
The campaign, like everyone else, including the FBI, does not yet know what exactly those emails contain, but it's not stopping them from capitalizing on the unknown and assuming the worst.
Clearly, there's either something to do with national security or obstruction of justice. I mean, they found something
clearly
big.
Clearly, you putting your spin on it. Have you spoken to the FBI director, Jason?
No, of course I haven't spoken to the FBI director about this.
Operatives suddenly optimistic Trump can regain some ground, or at least stem the bleeding in tight down-ballot races.
It's something that is going to hang around the necks of down-ballot Democratic candidates who will have to answer for why they continue to support her, given the scandal that Hillary Clinton finds herself immersed in.
The news helping to blunt Trump's own unresolved controversies. The Washington Post with a front page three-month investigation today, finding Trump repeatedly boasted and took credit for charitable donations that never happened. The Trump campaign telling the Post he has personally donated tens of millions of dollars, but offered no proof.
Trump is in Colorado right now. He'll be in New Mexico tonight and Michigan tomorrow, states that all went for President Obama in 2012. The campaign says that's because they're trying to push the narrative that Donald Trump is on offense and looking to expand the map.
Katie Turr out in Colorado, thank you. At the center of this October surprise, disgraced former Congressman Anthony Weiner and his estranged wife, Huma Abedin, a longtime top Clinton aide. NBC's Hallie Jackson has more on how the campaign is standing by her.
Huma Abedin not able to hide from the firestorm engulfing not just her estranged husband today, but her political family. Hillary Clinton leaving her top aide in New York this weekend after news broke the FBI is looking at emails on a computer Abedin shared with Anthony Weiner in connection with the inquiry into Clinton's private server. A campaign official tells NBC News Abedin has not been contacted yet by the FBI and has no access to the computer in question. Abedin, a near constant presence on the campaign trail after working for Clinton for two decades. The two, so close, Clinton considers her like a second daughter. Former President Bill Clinton officiating at Abedin's 2010 wedding to Weiner, who's under investigation for allegedly sending racy text messages to a teen. One of several scandals that have sunk his congressional career, his mayoral bid, his marriage, and now threatening Clinton's campaign, making Abedin's private life political fodder.
I wonder, is she going to keep Uma? Uma's been a problem. Do we agree?
Team Clinton does not agree. A campaign source telling NBC Clinton and Abedin are as close as ever, emphasizing she's a valued member of the campaign.
She's played a central and vital role in this campaign, and she continues to do that.
It had long been expected Abedin would take on a senior role in a potential Clinton administration. Campaign officials wouldn't discuss possible staffing, but privately signaled nothing's changed. Abedin's expected back on the trail soon, but with more fallout, more questions about her future. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, New York.
All throughout this election season, Russia has been at the center of some of the campaign's most heated debates. Now, with only days to go, we're hearing from the Kremlin about the U.S. presidential race. Keir Simmons has that story.
Rising tensions with Russia center stage in the U.S. presidential election. President Vladimir Putin is accusing American politicians of whipping up hysteria, denying he played any part in influencing the elections. He's rejecting claims by U.S. intelligence agencies that Russian hackers targeted the Clinton campaign. Clinton and Trump have sparred over how to handle Russia.
Putin, from everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of the United States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear.
You're the puppet.
Putin describes Trump as the voice of the common man, but says he's not picking sides. His spokesman sitting down with NBC News for an exclusive interview.
Both candidates are trying to take advantage of demonizing Russia and demonizing Putin personally in order to get more points.
It's hard to believe that President Putin doesn't favor one candidate over another.
He's in favor of any politician who is in favor of good relationship with Russia.
But Clinton has supported investigating Russia for war crimes in Syria and has threatened more sanctions. Meanwhile, the U.S. and its allies are bolstering military forces on Russia's border. Just this past week, Russia unveiled images of a new nuclear missile said to be capable of devastating an area the size of Texas. The Kremlin spokesman warning whoever wins in November.
And we'll do whatever is necessary to keep our national interests safe.
Keir Simmons, NBC News.
Another powerful earthquake rocked Italy this morning. The 6.6 magnitude quake was among the strongest to hit the country in nearly 36 years and toppled historic buildings already weakened by recent quakes. Some injuries have been reported, but no loss of life. Italy is still recovering from that major earthquake in that same area in August that left almost 300 dead. Iraqi and Kurdish forces, with the help of U.S.-led airstrikes, are still battling hard to take back the city of Mosul from ISIS. But as the fight rages on, a humanitarian crisis in Iraq is growing by the day. Matt Bradley reports now from northern Iraq.
2 weeks into the battle for Mosul, and Iraqi troops have yet to pierce ISIS defenses. Just miles away from the front lines, a makeshift city is springing to life. As the fighting goes on, desperate families arrive at this camp each day by the hundreds.
Debrica camp is teeming with more than 33,000 people, and most of them aren't from Mosul itself. Once that city falls, aid workers are expecting a massive wave of humanity that will overwhelm their already limited resources.
Up to 1 million people could be displaced in the battle for Mosul. Assad Hassan just fled Nimrud, south of Mosul. Landmines destroyed two of the three cars in his convoy. Khalid Fatihi came here in July. His large family sleeping in this small tent. I asked him how many members of his family had been killed. Seven, he said. ISIS beheaded his brother for spying, then shot his nephews. A coalition bombing destroyed his home. In this growing camp and others like it, the UN and other aid agencies are rushing to meet the need. Ahmed Abu manages the Dabaga camp.
Do you feel you have enough resources?
No, of course not.
For the children finding refuge here, their futures remain uncertain. They may spend their childhoods at home or grow up here, permanently displaced. Matt Bradley, NBC News, Dabaga, Iraq.
Coming up, the growing concern over children and edible marijuana as five states are set to vote on legalization on Election Day. this election day, five states are voting on whether or not to make recreational marijuana use legal. But there's growing concern from medical experts on the safety of children, especially when it comes to edible marijuana that in many instances looks like candy. Steve Patterson has the latest from Denver.
Ready?
With two curious boys, caution comes first for cannabis activist Jane West.
In my household, daddy has a beer and mommy has cannabis.
In Denver, where recreational marijuana use is perfectly legal, Jane keeps an assortment of pot-infused foods around the house, but she makes sure they're locked up tight.
So this is where all the products are stored.
Edibles like these are almost indistinguishable from normal candy and baked goods, and for young kids, that can be confusing.
Obviously, it's going to be very attractive to a two-year-old.
A recent study from the University of Colorado found the number of calls to poison control centers went up 4 times in 6 years, from 9 calls in 2009 to 47 in 2015.
Yeah,
Dr. Sam Wong says exposure to the mind-altering chemical THC found in marijuana can lead to serious symptoms in children.
Anywhere from a little bit of sleepiness to pretty minimal symptoms. To the other end of the spectrum, where we've had some kids had difficulties breathing where they actually needed to be on a ventilator.
Recreational marijuana is not recognized by the federal government, so states are scrambling to self-regulate to keep up with the booming multi-billion dollar industry. And this summer, lawmakers in Colorado signed the so-called gummy bear law, banning THC-infused gummies in shapes like animals or fruit.
Oh, perfect.
In retail shops like this, sellers say following the rules takes top priority.
It's paramount. We want, you know, people to understand that we're running a responsible business.
For advocates like Jane West, the best defense, good parenting.
It's no different than you talk to your kids about being responsible with all substances.
High times at home, as long as parents keep a lock on it. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Denver.
Up next, how modern DNA testing is giving a jump start to a 300-year-old royal murder investigation. You're looking live at Wrigley Field in Chicago, where in less than 2 hours, the Cleveland Indians will take on the Chicago Cubs, Game 5 of the World Series. The Indians do have a chance to win the championship tonight as they lead the series 3-1. For Cubs fans, a loss tonight keeps the hope burning. It's been more than a century since a World Series win for them. A 3-century-old royal murder mystery involving a king could be solved with the help of modern DNA testing. Kelly Kobiea has the story from London.
It's the tale of a royal love triangle and a mysterious disappearance some 300 years ago that might be murder. Now, these bones could be the key to unlocking the mystery.
Most of the bones were broken. You can see it here. So it was not very well preserved.
The remains uncovered by construction workers renovating an old castle in Hanover, Germany, just 2 months ago. In the 1600s, it was home to the future King of England, George I, and his wife, Sophia Dorothea, an arranged and unhappy marriage. Sophia's true love was Count Philip Königsmark. For 2 years, the pair traded love letters, an affair so dangerous they wrote in code.
It was an illegal love affair.
Illegal and deadly. One night in the summer of 1694, after sneaking into Sophia Dorothea's castle, Philip disappeared. Royal rumors spread that he was thrown in the river or buried in the walls on orders of Dorothea's vengeful husband. He locked her away in a German castle for the rest of her life and took his mistress to England, their new home, Kensington Palace.
These are the rooms where King George I spent most of his time. In fact, when he became king, they celebrated here at Kensington Palace with bonfires in the gardens, barrels of beer, and more than 300 bottles of wine.
Yet the British public despised him.
George I was not a likable man. He was distant, he was cold, he was often cruel, and he was very difficult to work with as a monarch and very difficult to be married to.
But was he the Count's killer? Scientists examining the bones couldn't determine the cause of death, but they were able to get a DNA sample that will prove if these are the Count's remains. The first answer in centuries could come in just weeks to a secret a king may have taken to the grave. Kelly Kobiea, NBC News, London.
Still ahead, how one pumpkin farmer's innovation is changing the face of jack-o'-lanterns this Halloween. In California, one innovative pumpkin farmer has been creating a scary treat for kids this Halloween and changing the face of jack-o'-lanterns as we know them. Joe Fryer has that story.
At a glance, this may look like your run-of-the-mill pumpkin patch. But a closer look reveals it's more like a laboratory worthy of Dr. Frankenstein. Here, Tony DeGuerra is the scientist, and his creation is Pumpkinstein. It's not plastic. It's alive.
When people see these pumpkins, what's their reaction?
They're blown away. And then when they realize it's not carved, they're like, wow, that's, how did you do it?
And your answer is?
That's a secret.
What he will say is he uses a special mold which the pumpkins grow into.
Voila.
There it is.
His hush-hush process didn't come easily. There were many failed experiments. In fact, it took 5 years before DeGuerra finally hit the jack-o'-lantern jackpot. This year, he has orders for 250,000 pumpkin steins, with many going to Sam's Club.
This is really, really unique.
It's like the coolest pumpkin ever I've seen.
Kids aren't the only ones getting excited.
I thought it was great because you don't have to carve.
Pumpkins were a natural evolution for DeGuerra, an organic farmer who first shaped watermelons into squares and hearts before creating Pumpkinstein. Now he's delivering a new baby.
This is a skull. This is a new one for this year.
Like any good parent, molding his kids, then watching them grow. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Moorpark, California.
Wow, we just carved ours last night. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday. Up next, football night in America. The Philadelphia Eagles take on the Dallas Cowboys. Lester Holt will be back in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York. I will see you tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern on MSNBC and all week long. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.